only thing better than watching TV is taking it personally.
You guys, it's taking it personally. So excited to have back content creator and brand marketing special.
Just flowing right out. Flowing right out.
Content creator and brand marketing specialist. Welcome to Tip, Abby Bonadies. Abby, how are we?
We are good. We are ready to take some stuff personally.
And what show is better to take personally than the post-Scandoval, but also still mid-Scandoval?
Well, it's full mid.
It's mid. And it's giving mid-energy. Vanderpump Rules. What was your expectation going into this season, and how are you vibing with this season so far?
My expectation as a expert reality TV watcher,
we love,
was it was never going to be as good as the last.
Yeah,
like we knew they were going to spend more budget. We knew it was going to be a little daunting to feel the story hit us again, but I was excited. Yeah. I was like ready to see how Bravo was going to handle it. Was I expecting so much of a lean into a Sandoval redemption arc? Not out of the gate. So that shocked me a little bit. But at the end of the day, he's kind of the main character of the show.
Jesus.
I know, dark. But I think I'm enjoying is dramatic. I'm watching it.
Yeah.
I'm watching it and I'm learning. I'm watching and learning and trying to figure out how I feel, because we're what, five in?
No, we're four, like
three.
I watched so many of them yesterday. I watched literally
losing track of time, like going nuts.
14 episodes between Housewives.
Oh, I was like,
Potomac.
We are not. No. 14.
Between Potomac, Housewives, because I like needed to catch up for my own mental health.
Yeah.
Because I'm not a quitter.
No.
Except when it comes to the COVID season of Orange County and probably the upcoming season of Dubai.
Yeah. Which, we're going to try.
We're not. No, some of us are not trying.
Again,
Shalom.
I'll keep you posted.
Yeah, let me know how that means hello, goodbye, and peace. So I feel like after watching so many episodes of Vanderpump Rules and Potomac, I do have thoughts on Potomac, but I do also have like sort of a underlying sadness about this season.
Yes.
And with Vanderpump Rules, I mean, I was having this conversation with a friend who said that essentially the season of Vanderpump Rules is a narrative around the trauma of the cast having gone through the Scandoval. And I kind of can't unsee that.
I think because it affected all of them individually, we have no other stories. There's nothing else we can talk about, which makes it feel traumatic and exhausting because it's not like a situation where on a lot of the Housewives shows or even Summer House, you have side stories happening. Mm-hmm. Every conversation is about the aftermath of Scandoval. And what people forget is what we're watching right now is only 3 months after it happened.
Right. That's nuts.
You know, we've all processed it for a year. They're only 3 months in, which goes by very quickly when you're experiencing something like that.
So there's been a lot that has come up seemingly on the after show and press stuff between Ariana and Sheena.
Yeah.
What's your take on their current dynamic, and how surprised are you at the direction that this seems to be going, which is a slightly maybe uncomfortable one?
It's definitely uncomfortable. My reaction is not surprised. Sheena has showed her Sheena true colors for so long that like, she loves when it's about her. The show started about her. And the fact that it's not is taking its toll on her. And I think Ariana is in her protect your own peace era. And if Sheena's not part of that, Sheena's not part of that. Does that make good TV? Not necessarily for us. Mm-hmm. Sheena's making better TV because we can't believe the things she's saying. For Ariana, we can, because it's like, oh, if you were anyone in our lives, we would root for you for protecting yourself like that. But for us viewers, we need the mess. And Ariana's not giving us any mess. Sheena is. And it bums me out because I do think they were friends. Mm-hmm. I do.
Best friends.
Right. And I just think Sheena's like a little blinded by the main character energy, villain energy that Sandoval has, that she thinks she won't be part of the show if she attaches only to Ariana.
I feel bad for Sheena because I feel like she obviously seemingly is in a place where she feels like, no, I'm not allowed to have feelings. I'm not allowed to experience some kind of closure on this. But her sense of closure seems to be attached to like a future friendship with this man. Mm-hmm. And I think that is tough to watch.
I think she needs to do some work on rediscovering. Maybe it's not what it was, but maybe they can be something. He can fill some sort of friendship void for her. But she has to move past the fact that she can't look at him the same ever again. And that hurts her deeply. But she will be better off not letting him, you know, affect her emotions so deeply. But that's like some self-work you got to do. And you need like a partner that's going to help you with that. And I don't know where Brock is like emotionally on that for her.
Yeah. And it feels like she seems to be somewhat comfortable being friends with someone that she has to constantly explain empathy to. Mm-hmm. Like, do you really think that you need to be in a relationship with this person who cannot see outside of his own universe, including when it includes you?
I also think the rest of them are going to start getting really annoyed with her for not being able to see clearly that like he is currently in a bad place and is a monster in a lot of ways. And, you know, she's going to get left with Schwartz. And it's like, oh, do you really want to just hang out with Schwartz and Sandy? Mm. She's going to lose a lot of girlfriends. And I think people really need girlfriends. And Sheena doesn't. She lost Raquel, mm-hmm. who she thought was her
sister. Yeah.
She's now feeling like she's losing Ariana. I can see Lala getting pretty annoyed with her at some point. Like, just in the sense of like the whining, because Lala doesn't have a lot of empathy for crying and whining. And Katie's going to be like, forget it.
Well, I feel like Katie is already there.
Yeah.
But with Lala, I see Lala in real time doing a lot of like heavy defending and fighting for Sheena of like people don't understand what she has experienced and she's not being allowed to process this.
Maybe we just didn't realize how much that friendship of Sandoval meant to her because we've always seen him as a dick.
Well, like, I mean, not everybody.
That's fair.
But most of us.
Most of us.
Yeah.
The ones who can see right through it. But, you know, like it never seemed like that was a always there to cry on your shoulder kind of friendship. It seemed like a party friendship. So we didn't know that that was like such a deep rooted emotional friend for her. We did learn about the money loan and those things that obviously we didn't see.
Or the gift. I don't even think it was a loan. I think it was a loan. I think it was a gift rather.
Yeah, you're right. And maybe we just never had a keen eye on how much that was like a deeper friendship for her. Like, I just always thought it was kind of like a surface level. We're in this group together friendship. And I just picture them doing that surprise bridal shower and him singing Good as Gold and running to the front of the group to make sure it was about him as well. And I'm like, maybe he was running to the front of the group because he thinks she's their best friends. But to me, it was always him front and center and she was just around. And that wasn't what it was for her, I guess, which is sad.
She does seem to have a certain level of tension about the kind of different role that she has in her relationship with Ariana.
Yeah.
And I wonder how much of that it's sort of like it's feeding on both sides, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful way to describe it. But like she and Ariana are at odds because of her friendship with Sandoval, but how much of her engaging in a friendship with Sandoval is a reaction to her and Ariana being at odds, even if some of that is like her own processing it as being at odds with Ariana.
Right. Is she just kind of grasping for friendship in general as she feels her friendship with Ariana leaving?
Yeah, she getting pushed maybe closer to being friendly with this man because of something else that's going on.
I think that could definitely be it. And I also think they've had a lot of, Scannaval aside, friendship roller coasters in the last couple years. I mean, she got, I do like Stassi, but like she got like, Sheena got like brutalized by Stassi and lost a lot of friends in that mishap. And then all of a sudden that group was gone and Sheena was now the leader of this group with
like kind of a punchline.
Uh-huh. She was always no one ever took her seriously. Mm-hmm. And maybe she felt like Sandoval did.
Do you feel like her feelings are being invalidated, Gina's?
Depends by who. I would say Lala's validating them.
Yeah.
And I would surprisingly say that Lisa Vanderpump is validating them.
Yeah.
But I would say she probably thinks the general public is not. Because everyone's like, get over it, Sheena. Like, this is about Ariana. You didn't go through the breakup.
How did you feel about the dynamics around that Instagram photo of Sheena taking a group shot with Sandoval and then not feeling like Ariana stood up for her when she felt like she needed it on social?
So I think
the fan photo.
Yeah, the fan photo. I think Ariana eventually did after the conversation with Lala. Mm-hmm. She did come out. So hopefully Sheena was appreciative of that. I think it is all the perspective of how much Sheena pays attention to the public perception of herself. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of them don't really care about.
You do?
Well, like in the sense that Lala said that Sheena goes through every mention, every comment, looks at every Instagram story, is on every Daily Mail article, New York Post, all that stuff. Like the rest of them, either they see it a lot later because they're not as ingrained in it, or they don't, they've tried to separate themselves because it can be so hurtful. Sheena's in it. So I think her wanting Ariana to speak on it so quickly was just Ariana being like, whoa, I like wasn't even paying attention to that as deeply as Sheena was. I think she ended up doing the right thing. So I'm glad Ariana said something if it was going to protect her friendship with Sheena. Like if that's something that meant a lot to Sheena, I'm glad she did it. But if there was a reason she couldn't feel comfortable doing it, she owed that conversation to Sheena to say, here's why I'm not going to.
The dynamics are so weird to me right now. Like I can't kind of make heads or tails of it. And I think the thing that's maybe so upsetting to some members of the cast is that Ariana is like deeply impenetrable. Like she's not.
She's out of there.
She's not. And they take her boundaries as somewhat of a challenge.
Mm-hmm. And I also think what's been the struggle, and maybe it's because they've been on this cast trip, we haven't really seen them like together. We haven't seen Ariana and Sheena together really in a couple episodes. So all of these conversations we're seeing are between Sheena and Lala and then between Ariana and Katie and then through the grapevine of like, oh yeah, we texted. And we don't get that same emotion of them being in person or even on FaceTime with each other. Like, I feel like production should have been like, Sheena, call Ariana right now and ask her to say do that instead of having Lala then. You know, a week later, they get back from the trip. Lala goes on the walk with Ariana and tells her to say it then. And then eventually we hear on Watch What Happens Live. Like, we need a little bit more urgency and connection in the moment.
Yeah. And it's also, again, noting the timing of it all, it only being a couple months after and this being a decade long relationship. It just feels so obviously unsustainable. But maybe that's something that everybody kind of understood of like, OK, we're going to dance up around some of the limits here of like how we talk about Tom and being able to talk about Tom with Ariana, since she doesn't, understandably so, absolutely does not want to film or talk to him. And that is kind of what we're going to have to do in order to get to the other side of this. And I just mean that in terms of like filming the season.
For it to make sense to the viewers, for that story to continue without. It's tricky for the producers to have to figure out how to continue or end that story without having any sort of conversation between Sandoval and Ariana, let alone them even being in the same room together. I'm excited that we are going to get that one episode, hopefully this week, of them on the beach where they're at least in a group setting together.
Yeah,
to see a little bit of a dynamic there that can give us a bit of a movement forward. But right now it just feels like such piecemeal. All in different conversations and nothing cohesive together. So maybe we just need to like wait it out a little longer.
Yeah. And it feels like obviously there was a conversation between Ariana and production of like, I know that you still want me on the show. I'm not going to film with him at all. And the production, I assume, being like, yep, absolutely, 100%. and we'll figure it out. And then their response is to use the cast as surrogates. Yeah. Like, we're going to push up against this as much as we humanly can. And to a certain extent, maybe they should, just for the purposes of like some kind of story being here.
I agree. I think the producers are doing everything they can to give us the answers and the season and the conversations we want without being able to actually see Raquel come back and Ariana and Raquel fight it out. Like, we just, Ariana did such a personal good job of being like, I have to remove myself to protect, right, that it makes it hard for a reality TV show, because we got none of that conflict on camera, basically. We got a little bit of the aftermath, and now we're just all supposed to move on, and half of them have, half of them haven't, half being Katie and Ariana are like, we're out of here, we're moving on, let's talk about something else. And half are like Sheena, still crying and in pain and confused and disconnected. And I think we need a little bit more of all of them together, because it feels like Ariana's just out on her own. And that's not that fun to watch.
Yeah. And also the rewriting of Tom and Ariana's relationship is so confusing to me. And
same.
I caught up on the episodes. I started watching some of the after show, but I'd seen a bunch of clips on social as well. And this whole thing of Sheena saying like they weren't in a good place, it's very confusing to me how she describes them not being in a good place.
You mean Sandoval and Ariana?
Sorry, yes.
Yeah.
There's a difference to me between questions about whether or not he's being faithful with them being in a seemingly like faithful, committed relationship. Because what we were told, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, during this Scandoval era and before, was that Tom and Ariana were okay. Like, the only questions about that were questions Tom was inserting post-Scandoval or pre-Scandoval, when he knew he was obviously fucking Rachel
there
and
was
trying to come out
coming
with an exit plan of like, oh, I don't feel great, whatever, but maybe we're gonna have kids. Like, he was planting the seeds, for lack of a better term, of like how to maybe get himself out of this that might not have been based in the reality of his relationship with Ariana. And now I'm watching Sheena, who never said this during the Scandoval era, say like, well, obviously they weren't doing well. And I'm confused who she means by they. And then her reasoning for it is like, well, I thought maybe he was fucking Rachel. And it's like, that's a different kind of they weren't doing well that does not include Ariana here. Like,
right,
he's trying to say we were doing so terribly for a while, and
that's
like,
why
I had no
choice,
and that's I did this, versus I cheated on my girlfriend who I was in a committed relationship with. I'm not getting the sense of things that the status of their relationship was as bad as Sandoval was describing it when he had a vested reason to change our minds.
To change our minds, yes.
And now Sheena's sort of dancing in some of that language, but her explanations for it are, to me, totally and almost entirely connected to Sandoval cheating.
I also think what is crazy about them doing that reflection on where they were as a couple, now, because they all feel like so much was happening between Sandoval and Raquel that they didn't know at the time, they're all trying to not rewrite, but revisit every scenario they saw themselves in with Sandoval, with Ariana, and with Raquel, to see if there was anything they missed or anything that like seemed worse than it was with Ariana. And I think that they're all just getting confused in their own minds of what was really going on. And I think everyone experienced it differently. Like Allie, the voice of reason on this season.
Oh my God.
She saw it right away. She was like, it's weird that they are dancing at the Abbey at 2 a.m. together. Yeah. That's weird. And she says it to James. And James, I never would say in defense of James, but like, they have all been on this mess of a show for so long that it's like, we party, we go out, we're all this group of friends, it's fine. He believed so deeply that Sandoval would never do anything that now that it is the case, they're probably all so confused, reverting back to those scenarios, being like, how was I so dumb that it was like that? And I didn't see it. And maybe it was so bad. I think they're all just confused too.
Yeah. And speaking of confusing, the fact that excuse me, Bravo put out the seating chart for the reunion.
Oh, yeah. Let's review that. Because I think it's almost exactly the same as last year's reunion seating, if I remember correctly.
Entirely possible. But the thing that's confounding to me is that Brock is, I guess, on the stage the entire time, or is at least pictured, and right. Allie is not. That's weird to me.
That's weird to me, too, because Allie, while her takes are short and sweet and few and far between, they're spot on. And she has, like, very valid emotional intelligence in terms of how she balances these situations. She's even pretty good at seeing right through Schwartz and how he reacts to these situations. Like, she deserves to be up there full time because she's the only one who can put it together, like, in a tangible sentence.
Yeah, it feels like the show, and certainly Sheena, is trying to make Brock happen as a member of the cast. And I get it. I don't disagree with it. He is married to her. Right. It's not that I, like, hate Brock. It's just that Allie makes so much more sense for reasons that have to do with the quality of the conversation taking place that Brock just isn't going to be able to contribute to in that way.
He just doesn't have the capacity to, and that's fine. And maybe they need him there as a Sheena defender.
Maybe.
Because it's
things are gonna get tough.
Yeah, things are gonna get tough. And maybe she wants him there because she's feeling a little like, no one's listening to me and I've lost everyone.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what it is. But if that's the case, then Allie deserves to be up there too.
So where do you think that Sheena and Ariana's relationship is right now?
I would have to guess, since Ariana is here in New York and not there, it's probably a little surface level at this moment because they're probably not spending time together. I doubt they're filming yet. Right?
No, they haven't even done the
Well,
reunion.
They did. Or I they think just they did just did. Right.
Oh, they yeah. just did
no,
it.
We just talked,
like,
about it.
Yeah, yeah. No, but in terms of, like, they just did it, but it's we're not looking at next
We're
season
not looking yet. I think they're probably taking a little bit of time. Hopefully our on the same page of, like, mutual respect in terms of if I need to say something in the press or comment on an Instagram to combat rumors, I will. But I doubt that they are texting and calling each other like yeah. she says they used to.
Yeah, and it seems like Ariana is, like, genuinely a little pissed about what she feels like is some form of passive aggression coming from Sheena.
Yeah, watching the confessionals has been kind of messing Ariana up based on what she said on Watch What Happens Live last week or the week before. Like, she was like, my feelings are a little hurt. Mm. And I think both of their feelings being hurt is valid.
Yeah. I also think this whole, like, positioning of anger around Sandoval is tough. Of mm-hmm. like, you just kind of need to let it go.
Yeah.
Because there is a conversation that can take place of, like, how long can a person carry anger toward a former partner without it, like, really truly inhibiting your recovery or your future, whatever else. But we're also 3 months out.
Mm-hmm.
They were in a nearly decade-long partnership and they are still in each other's lives. My guess
in each other's home.
In each other's home. My guess is if they were not on the show together anymore, Ariana would be able to process this and move past it. But I think because they are still on the show, his name comes up differently. You have to think when his name comes up of how this is playing out on camera mm-hmm. and how the perception of him might change. But there's a feeling that she needs to validate her anger at every point that isn't going to dissipate.
And it's not fair for her to have to process it quicker because she's gotten wonderful opportunities out of it.
Yeah, that's tough too.
Because sure, she's very thankful and grateful for all these things, but, like, that doesn't mean she wasn't heartbroken. And 3 months after a decade and to be thrust into the public eye to have headlines on CNN, like, that's a lot for her to process. And I think she's doing an okay job, but by no means would any of the rest of them be over it yet.
How do you feel about Sandoval's frustration about the ways that everyone else in the cast, except for Rachel, has been able, well, and now she has a podcast, but has been able to monetize Sandoval except for him? The ways that he was discussed and the ways that he was seemingly diagnosed by people in the cast. That was a huge part of seemingly a lot of his frustration during the trip before.
Right. All of them making Lala making merch out of it and making a bunch of money. Katie and Ariana made merch for an unopened sandwich shop and made a bunch of money. And instead his bar was getting trashed on Yelp. And, you know, that had to have been really tough. What frustrates me is that in this moment, I'm trying to put myself to 3 months after where they are. He is still trying to move forward because he wants to start a new life because Rachel's gone. Ariana's gone. He's like, I got to get something out of this. But then we see things in present day, like the New York Times article and the Vile Files podcast. He still doesn't get it. He can't just say sorry. And it's like he's just doubling down on his bad behavior. And I don't think that that's any way for a person to move forward and a positive progress.
Paris is always a good idea. And when I schlep on over to Europe, to my favorite city in the world, I bring with me a few important phrases that I have learned from housewives. C'est bon, chic c'est la vie. Je m'appelle the Countess, n'est-ce pas, Luann? And while those key phrases are important when speaking to any French bravoholic, for other matters of life, that's where Rosetta Stone comes in. Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including, of course, French. It features fast language acquisition. It immerses you in so many ways. There's no English translations, so you really learn to speak, to listen, and to think in that language. It's an intuitive process. You pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. J'adore Chris Manzo. Et toi? There's a speech recognition filter, which gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's convenient with desktop and app options, and it's an amazing value. Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs in life. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. A steal. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, AGs can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Today. With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom or a maternal figure in your life? Let me tell you about mylifeinabook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you want to ask. Then she can either type up her response or record her voice. And mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. I want to know about the stories of how my mom and dad grew up. What's the first thing they remember after they were born? That's one of the questions I sent to my dad after signing up for My Life in a Book. And I can't think of a greater gift to give my dad in sharing his stories and to receive. It's super easy to use. My favorite part of it, as someone who sometimes lives on turtle time and forgets about sending or receiving email, is that they reach out a couple days prior to sending questions, just so I know of what questions they're going to send to my dad, if I want to change it for another question or customize it with something that I want to know. It's that kind of specificity and care that I love so much. This is genuinely an incredible, incredible gift. There's no greater present than I could give a family member or a loved one than to participate in this kind of meaningful appreciation for the entirety of their lives, separate from my own. Check out mylifeinabook.com and use code AndysGirls at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom or loved one this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com with code AndysGirls for 10% off today. And thank the Jills Erin and your life and mine. Spoiler alert, I watch a lot of Bravo. And when I'm not watching Bravo, I'm sitting in the cloth having a moment of spiritual growth. And when that's not happening, I'm living here in New York where there is a lot to do and not a lot of time to do it. The last thing that I want to be thinking about, let alone worrying about, is my hair. Now, I have wavy hair naturally. It also has color processing, which is surprising because I am a spiritual blonde. And as a result, I don't want to have to worry about frizz. That's why I love Way's anti-frizz cream. It works for my hair texture. It works for having wavy hair. It smells great. There are notes of bergamot, Italian lemon. You guys know I just went to Italy. It was for moments like this, violet and more. Having used a lot of products in my hair in the past, I don't like a heavy feeling, especially when you have wavy hair. That's incredibly important, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It makes my hair look like me just a little bit better. Way's new anti-frizz cream provides immediate frizz control that lasts up to 72 hours. It helps reduce and repair split ends. And according to a consumer perception study, 90% of participants agreed that their hair looks less frizzy. And I would like to know what that consumer perception study has to say about some original cast members of The Real Housewives of New York. You'll be way obsessed with Way's bestsellers. They're leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, hair oil, gloss, and so much more. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code Andy. C'est bon.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
Yeah, it's like, I'm not going to diagnose him, and I'm sure he's thankful for that, but I do think he's a pathological asshole, and he's a brat.
He's terrifying. He's, like Lala said, like, in the sense of, like, that you just really can't take a step back and be like, maybe I'll just say sorry on this one.
He really refuses to. That's the thing that's so upsetting to me in watching this, is, like, he's skipping ahead to the thing that he was trying to position during the fact of the idea that he's the victim in all of this. He's still positioning that, which isn't to say that he doesn't, like, listen, if you feel like your friends or cast members or whatever are teaching the world very successfully how to hate you, I'm not taking away from that, but he's trying to take away from everybody else's frustration and upset about his behavior.
His actions, which were not one and done. They were elongated and pre-thought out. I like, he knew what he was doing, and I think that is what is so scary about his feelings, is that he doesn't think it was that bad.
Well, he's saying, because I didn't mean to upset you, even though I knew obviously that it would, that's less bad. He keeps running the argument that's the through line of Andy Scrolls of like intent versus impact. But the problem with that is he keeps saying, I didn't mean to hurt you, or I wasn't doing this to upset you while I was like fucking your best friend. But the problem with that is he dressed as her for Halloween. It felt like they were engaged in an affair in which part of the fuel here was making a joke of everybody else for not knowing they were fucking, for humiliating Ariana. You cannot tell me, I refuse to believe, that there isn't some sort of anger there toward Ariana.
For sure.
That led to the continuation of this or his behavior. But you do not dress as the woman you are fucking behind your partner's back of over a decade and tell me that you didn't intend any
harm to any harm people's or malintent. Emotions.
You cannot to me successfully argue that. At least not to me. My opinion is like his arguments are tough, and he looks at like some sort of seed of truth and then exacerbates it and seemingly winds his way towards some sort of reconciliation.
That's a good way to put it.
I mean, does he not? But you cannot say to me honestly that you did not have malintent. You can't do it.
You can't.
You can't do it. Otherwise, you'd be fucking somebody else. You can't
exactly.
do it.
Exactly. And he tried to band-aid that up by saying, I'm so in love with her, she won't talk to me. Like, to make it seem like he really got wrapped up in this love story. No, you were just being an asshole. You wanted what you wanted. You wanted to have your cake and eat it too. And you got caught. And now the rest of your actions that you thought were funny at the time look really fucking bad.
And he is still, the thing that is like my trigger with Tom is when he's one of many, is when he relies on dumb shit from a decade ago or several years ago. I don't like doing the whole you're X, Y years old. And it's not because I've switched to mid-20s plus, but there is something to be said for the fact that he's still relying on arguments of his behavior from 10 plus years ago, but you're supposed to be a different guy now. The point is that people, including Lala, learn from their behavior and don't do it again.
For the people in back.
You kept doing it. And also, the referencing that James and Kristen fucking in his bed was, I literally thought, and because I was watching so many episodes yesterday, I was like, I think I'm becoming undone, because he fucked Rachel in his bed with Ariana while she was at a funeral in in Florida for her grandmother. And now he's saying that James behaved worse than he did. Sir.
Also, you were with Ariana for a decade. Your relationship with Kristen and James and everyone at that time was a literal mess.
A mess.
You were young. You were dumb. You were still dumb. But like, it was just not the stake that they put into each other's lives with real estate and businesses and all of this crazy.
Such a good point.
Like,
such
that
a good
was
point.
Just like, they were bartenders that were hooking up with each other's friends. Like, it was just dumb. This was like real life stuff that he just flipped Ariana's world up. No matter how distant they had thought they got, they had real stake in the game together with their cocktail books, with their real estate and all those things. Like, it's not just a breakup they had to deal with.
It is also a great argument against age as a sign of growth.
Yeah.
Because Tom Sandoval, to me, is the greatest example of someone becoming older and not
growing down.
And growing down or growing in the same way. It has to do with his reactions to things. It feels so deeply emotionally immature and manipulative. And I say that while also acknowledging that, like, I understand some of his upset about his friends potentially being gleeful about the scandal. I get that. I'm not invalidating some of that, but I am just kind of experiencing him as like, I see him at exactly where he was at the beginning of the show. Even Schwartz, who you can make some solid arguments about being toxic, I see so much more growth in.
Me too.
And so much more humanity in.
Humanity, empathy, self-awareness.
Although that whole like, I'm not fucking Joe, we stopped a while ago, and she was like, a month. That was tough. That was just like, that was unfortunate, like, toxic bro behavior.
Yeah. And him just trying to like
get out of it.
Yeah. And make it like not so awkward, because he just is not very good at the relationship thing. But
no,
especially with
her fuck buddies. Yeah. Like, we're not fucking, but we're fucking.
Yeah.
You know,
and she's
like,
just, I have so much to say on
she's,
Joe.
She's out to lunch. Yeah. That one. She's tough. She's to me sort of uncomfortable to watch.
Sort of.
It's not like she's wacky. I think they're trying to pretend she's
not funny.
Wacky.
It's not like, haha, laugh funny.
No, she's just really chaotic.
She's kind of like creepy.
She is a little creepy. I'm not going to lie. She's a little creepy.
And it's not we're not laughing with, we're laughing at.
I'm not even really laughing. Yeah. I'm more like flustered.
Nervous laughing.
Yes.
Yeah. But I agree. Like even in his conversations with Joe Schwartz's, while weird they may be, he has more self-awareness about himself and awareness of how Sandoval is handling it.
He 100% does.
Than I would have thought he would.
Yeah.
Based on how much he's ride or die for Sandoval.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that he's saying that stuff on camera means like he knows people need to grow up, and Sandoval's the only one not doing it.
Yeah, and I wonder, I mean, he has said repeatedly this man is family, and obviously we have an understanding now more than maybe we did about like what Schwartz is going through with his brother, what he went through with his dad.
Right, we knew none of that really. Or Schwartz just didn't have the emotional capacity to show us that he was hurting. He just showed us in ways like being a horrible husband.
Yeah.
And we didn't know why he was doing it. And we just thought it was friends because he was friends with Sandoval. And we're like, you guys are just assholes. But Schwartz had some real stuff going on.
Yeah. And it's
not that it excuses it, but.
Well, no. And I think one of the things that he had in common with Sandoval is the fact that seemingly neither of them liked Katie very much.
Yeah. Which we saw, which was never a secret.
Right.
We saw that for a long time. And now I think the person whose stance on the entire situation that makes the most sense is Katie. She's like, I've been telling you all that he is a horrible person for a long time. Like, why is everyone so upset and confused now?
I understand Katie so much more and so much better from last season to now than I ever did before.
Same.
I ever did before.
You can see the weight lifted off her shoulders. Yep. Truly.
Yeah. And also the zero fucks energy. And some of that's going to be tough for people to process or want to watch or feel like they can enjoy. And I get that too. Like, I get that of people maybe feeling like, you know, she's maybe, I don't know, too cutting potentially, but
she's a little brutal.
Some people think. But I happen to agree with it. And I also think the ways that women's anger is judged and often minimized and, I hate to say it, but gaslit.
Yeah.
I mean, I think for Katie, people feel like maybe she needs to take a little bit of a seat. And I'm like, no, I think we need to hear this.
Especially because she is the only one who hasn't been blinded by Sandoval this entire time. Pre-Scannaval, she's seen through him.
She always said this.
Right? Like, she's now sitting here like, yeah, I'm going to be tough and brutal because he's always been like this. Like, you guys are just silly for not seeing it. And now to be upset that he's all of a sudden this kind of person, she's like, he was always this kind of person. Like, Sheena, what are you really that upset about?
Well, I think she's upset at Sheena's taste.
Yeah.
She's like, you can't really want to like this guy. And Sheena's like, no, I want to like him. And Katie's response to that is like, well, you have terrible taste.
Especially because they had to work it through and both came together, you know, amidst their differences in support of Ariana. And Katie was like, you know, I put all that aside to be there at emo night with Sheena and be there for Ariana. Now Sheena wants to go back to Tom. And Katie's like, for what? Like, you have plenty of other friends. This guy's a loser.
But they feel like he has redeeming qualities.
I haven't seen him. haven't seen him.
I don't know if your friend, is it possible to do a seemingly unforgivable act and find a way to forgive? I guess there's also a difference between forgiving someone and actively engaging them as some sort of friend in their lives.
Right. They're
living in absolutes.
Right. It's never going to be what it was.
Yeah.
I think everyone needs to realize that, including Sheena and Tom. Sandoval, because he's like, can't we all just move on. It's right. Like, no, sir. Right. We simply can't. But there is a world. Not worse things have happened. I don't want to, like, you know, say that what happened wasn't bad. But, like, people have moved on in reality shows from similar situations and figured out ways to make it work. Does that mean Ariana's part of that puzzle? Probably not, based on how she's reacting right now. But there is a world where they can all be in the same universe without it being this heavy, because life is going to go on and other things are going to happen that they can work through, but they're never going to be that level of friendship. And this isn't always going to be the center of everything they talk about.
Yeah. And I just feel like Sheena has so much trust and belief in Tom's perception post mid and post mid and post scandal, his perception of his relationship with Ariana, and she's taking that as fact. And I feel like so much of it is manipulative. It's tough to watch.
It's so tough to watch, and that's why I'm so curious what Sheena's thoughts are current day.
Yeah,
because of all the things we've seen unfold since the season, I'm so curious if she is still down to double down on the fact that he has redeeming qualities, because clearly, he has not even grown since the season wrapped.
Yeah, I mean, in the reunion map, so James is on an end, which feels unforgivable.
Agreed.
So it's James, then Lala, then Katie, then Ariana, then Andy, then Lisa, then Sandoval, then Schwartz, then Sheena, then Brock.
Ugh, and like, putting Sheena on that side is like, you're just asking for all the girls to come at her. And I'm nervous. That's why she needs Brock up there.
But she and Lala are great, no?
I guess we're going to find out how they handle that in the conversations during the reunion.
I mean, it's interesting that Lala and Katie are next to each other.
I know.
That is not confusing, but I would say interesting. I don't know what's going to happen after this. I know that we're still working our way through it. Andy does the thing that he always does of like, just wait, the next 7 episodes are incredible. And it's like, Sometimes that's true. Sometimes it's not. So maybe there will be a build to something, but I don't know how you get past Scandoval being at the center of this with Ariana and Tom still on the show, and neither of them are going anywhere. Sandoval has no choice but to continue this forever and ever. Amen. Not to say he doesn't want to. He absolutely does.
He absolutely wants to. But she probably doesn't.
Yeah, I feel like she, I mean, but again, I think that some of her concerns about being shut out of the group are really, really valid, about him trying to turn people and then ultimately her being shut out. I know that's why, because she told us that, why right after she found out, she immediately started texting people because she wanted to get to her friends before Tom did.
Yep.
Because she knew that he would turn this, which tells you something about the partner that you had for a decade.
Right. Like in that quick 3 months, she had done enough reflecting, or subconsciously she knew he had been manipulating her for a long time, and she knows what he's capable of to convince other people how to feel, because he did it to her for 10 years.
Yeah, and she also knew that in like the minutes after finding
that's
out.
Crazy.
She was texting people, I think in the cab or whatever, to be like, this just happened, this just happened.
Don't listen
this
to
just
him.
Happened. Don't listen to him, which... he's a scoundrel.
Yeah, he's a scumbag.
It doesn't mean he's not a human, but he's a piece of shit, you know?
And the Lisa Vanderpump defense of it all is hard to watch too for me, because the way she brings it up with referencing her brother, like, you can't not feel for that.
Of course.
But it's getting a little like, is Lisa jealous of Ariana?
I think that, I mean, there was that weird tension with Lisa and Ariana pre-Scandoval that I wish we had more of, because
Same.
That was delicious to watch play
Very
out.
Good.
But I think Lisa does bring like a genuine concern because of what happened with her brother.
Right.
But it does also obviously shut down conversation. Ariana would argue they're very, very different circumstances and very, very different people. And I think this also ties into the, like, there's a difference between actively participating in some aspects of the online discourse and being friends with this person, you know? And also the Lala comparison of Lala comparing Tom to Rand. I don't know how long we want that to play out, because I thought her whole thing was like cutting anyone who ever involves himself with Rand from her life, full stop. So I don't know if we can really compare the two of them together when we want to and then not.
And then not, especially because I forget where I saw this, but someone said on Instagram, like, imagine if they made Lala film with Randall.
That would be nuts.
Like,
I would so not want to watch that even a little bit.
Me neither.
I would watch it.
I would. Please. Don't get us wrong. We're not above it.
He seems very, very, very...
horrible, horrible man. But
bad, 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 bad.
Bad, bad, bad. But, like, for Lala to so quickly be trying to tell Ariana, like, let's just try to move forward with Grace. And she's had some growth. And obviously now we know she's expecting again, which is very exciting. But, like... if the situation was flipped, she would be like, literally, fuck everyone. There's no way I'm doing this. Don't even try to come near me if you even have his phone number anymore.
But I think also part of her argument is, while I do not want that man in my life anymore, I'm trying not to hold on to the anger because it's just poison for me, for myself.
And maybe because she has Ocean, she is able to move
and compartmentalize a little bit.
Yeah, whereas Ariana, it's kind of all she had. Like,
well, and they're also still in that same house.
I mean, environment is everything. And the fact that she's still, like, she can't free herself of it yet.
Mm-mm.
It's just, I think, has there been an update on the house?
I think that there was some sort of legal situation.
Oh, God.
Her talking about the furniture.
Yeah.
He's not going to get, but God bless her for trying to make that as formal as humanly possible. But I don't know how much money this man has.
Same. And I just, it's so much easier said than done as a viewer, obviously. But I'm like, I would want to be out of that situation so quickly. Like, I'd be like, I'm out of here.
Yeah, there's a benefit to taking some sort of loss. But I also think if you're in Ariana's position, and I totally understand it, wanting him to feel as much pain as humanly possible, with that being through the lens of, like, financial stuff, she's not going to want to give him an ounce.
She doesn't want him to feel like he got any wins. And him getting the house will feel like a win.
Yeah, especially if he's still on the show. Maybe she feels like that's enough of a win for him. She understands the cost of that, maybe to herself, of, like, whatever it is that he's going to push. It is a wild situation, especially noting that all of it seemingly nearly entirely is just trying to respond and move, not move forward, but just kind of continue, just continue.
And I think it got so much bigger than they could have all processed, to the point where, like, I know we're not going full into Summer House because that could be another 10 hours. But now that Lindsay is using Sandoval as, like, an excuse, or not an excuse, but, like, as an example, telling Carl, like, you're being like Sandoval. It's like, it's really crazy.
Wait,
that,
like, so I am extremely far behind in Summer House, but I'm catching up.
Sorry, spoiler alert.
No. She said that on TV.
Yeah. She said that on literal TV.
She compared Carl to Sandoval. Mm-hmm. What was the inciting incident? He didn't make her a sandwich?
It actually gets pretty dark. Lindsay is like,
I knew about the cocaine Carl.
Yeah,
thing.
But that, like, she's like, you're trying to gaslight me. You're being like Sandoval. That she was the one being crazy in the car.
Okay.
I don't know. It's very confusing, but the fact that she even name dropped it like that as a reference, when I think that Lindsay probably thought, when the breakup came out about her and Carl, she probably thought she was going to get the Ariana treatment.
Well, she kind of did.
She did, until, just wait till you catch up.
That's what I've heard, is that the episodes are really tough. And I don't know if this is a conversation that's happened on AG or on Tip, but I think it has. It might have been on Patreon, honestly, but something along the lines of, like, Carl's decision, the thing that really upset a lot of people coming out of the gate, myself included, was the decision to have the breakup filmed. But there is an argument that can be made that the decision to have it filmed is so there can't be any kind of, like, spin
1,000%.
On exactly what's discussed, knowing what he had experienced in the months leading up to it.
Knowing how quickly she can twist words.
Yeah. She works in PR.
Yeah, exactly. Hell pass. I see that side 100%, because he was like, after you watch these events unfold and how she explains it to everyone when he's not around and all that, like, he was probably like, yeah, I need witnesses. And I need you all to see what's going to happen here. But that's another one. It's like, oh, mess. And you feel for both and you don't. But just the bring it back to Sandoval, like, it was just crazy to me that people reference that and him now as like a way of acting or a way of reacting to things. And even it's like so meta, like seeing her do it on the same network, like after in the beginning of Summer House, Lindsay referencing like, well, Ariana got invited to the White House. Like, it's almost like people wanted the spotlight that Ariana and Sandoval got.
How could you not?
Yeah. And it's like, at what cost? Look at them now.
How do you feel about, I literally have not seen this season, so I need to go check, but yes. How do you feel about Danielle?
I think she is doing a very good job at staying out of the conversations because
really,
she's like, I think she's trying to stay level. She came off of, I don't know if you watched it, but
no,
like,
I don't watch Winter House.
Yeah.
I heard it was tough though, right?
Yeah. Tough, embarrassing, uncomfortable.
Oy, okay.
So I think she had some nice, Danielle's smart. She had some good self-reflection and was like, you know what? This is a mess. I took a lot out of it last summer and I tried to put myself right in the middle. I'm just gonna sit this one out and be here if she needs me, be here if Carl needs me. But she's really not in a lot of the conversations, at least yet.
But I feel like she came out really, really hard team Lindsay after the breakup, which she's maintained. What does that mean, if anything, aside from like healing your friendship, I guess?
I think she was trying to be the girl's girl that she is and was like, you know what? Like, and she obviously had gone through a breakup with Carl too, Danielle, in the day.
Throwback energy.
Obviously way different. They weren't engaged or anything. But I think that she was probably just trying to be a good friend like she always was to Lindsay. And I'm so curious what she thinks now that she is seeing some of these conversations on the show that she didn't see in person.
And that gets into the whole like optics of like, am I going to really state how I may or may not feel? What is it that you're willing to see when you watch these episodes?
What are you willing to see? What are you willing to keep? What are you willing to step away from? Yeah.
Oh my God. Well, I can't wait to catch up. It was on my list of things to do to catch up to Vanderpump Rules. I know there's a new episode coming. Thoughts on the Valley?
I am interested because
premiere comes out tomorrow. We're recording
premieres tomorrow. Yes. I think the word on the street in full Giselle Bryant is that it is going to transition from Vanderpump into the Valley, just as Beverly Hills did it to Vanderpump.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited to see that because we love like a nice cinematic moment.
Is it terrible that I kind of hate it? Is that like when I heard that, I was like, no, don't do that. Like,
We already had it so good. Don't do it to us again.
We already had it. And I also don't want to like give Jax that
a little bit. I think that's what it's going to be because we've seen that preview or mid-season trailer or whatever for Vanderpump where Jax is yelling at
Lisa
in the bar. That has to be it. Where he's yelling and maybe we like follow him outside of
I don't remember him yelling at Lisa. I remember him engaged in conversation with Tom.
Oh, maybe that's what it is. But it's in one of the restaurants, I believe.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sure.
So that's what I'm picturing is then the camera's gonna like follow him on his way home.
It's gonna be so dumb.
It's gonna be crazy.
I'll 100% watch it.
But Bravo actually posted a like flowchart of how all of the characters are connected.
Yes, I saw
which
that.
Which is very helpful. So I might need to, after the first episode, do the flowchart and explain it to everyone and, you know, figure out the deep connection. Because we even have someone on there from Bachelor Nation.
Oh, yeah?
Jasmine.
I don't know who anybody is.
It's,
I saw the flowchart. I skimmed it.
Yeah. And I think it's going to be interesting. One of them, besides Brittany and Jax, is already getting divorced.
Oh,
that
yeah?
came out, too. I forget which one because I don't know their
names
yet. Doesn't
matter. They're all interchangeable.
Yeah. So, like, I don't know if they're just working overtime on getting the show to really hit the ground running, but they've convinced me. But it doesn't take much.
I mean, I was watching the after show before you got here.
Yeah.
Once I successfully got through a bunch of apps, and I was slightly annoyed that they were doing the whole synergy of having people from the Valley on the after show with people from Vanderpump Rules.
Don't push us on it yet.
And I honestly found a bunch of them annoying. And I was like, not annoying in the way that like, I don't like you, this is good TV, but just annoying in the way of like, I just think you're annoying and cloying and you're acting. But this is the non-win of like, if you act like a Bravoleb before you are one, I'm going to dislike you. But how can you not? It's
just like Housewives newbies coming on and us being like, oh, we get it. You're trying to start a storyline. It's like, well, yeah, they were hired to be on a TV show to give a storyline.
Yeah,
so,
there.
It's going to be interesting.
I already have some people who I just in advance feel like I am not going to like. I couldn't tell you any of their names. I honestly couldn't even tell you what they look like. But I know in watching those videos that I was like, I dislike you. I dislike you. I'm not sure about this energy. But we'll see what happens as a result.
We'll see.
It's not the spinoff they thought that they were going to get.
I know, which...
But it's what we have.
Yeah, in another universe, that would have been amazing. But
maybe it wouldn't have been. Yeah. I mean, it's entirely possible. And Jax self implodes. It's a part of his life journey. So it just is going to be, it's going to be, this whole Britney thing is so weird.
It's so weird. And I think just yesterday, they're in like another stage paparazzi picture. It's like part of it just, and they're still putting out podcasts. Like what
together?
Are we,
yeah, I know that I think she did one with a female friend. Like
I think
with a,
they were on a podcast
with a lady
last
friend.
Week.
I didn't know that they were still recording episodes together. I thought oh, but maybe that was just for the announcement for the separation.
Yeah, very strange. And I know some of it feels. I could totally when they announced that they were separating. I totally was like, going back to filming was probably terrible for them. And Jax turned into TV Jax instead of the person she's been enjoying. Quote unquote, enjoying her marriage with over the last few years where they've been off the show. But I'm just interested to see if we see any of those fights or if this really was just for promotion.
I mean, it's a great argument against not relying on fossil fuels. Yeah. When you think about Jax, he's just so goddamn toxic for the environment.
Crazy.
It's just not. Where's the ozone?
Speaking of toxic, we're getting Kristen back too. And in that trailer, we get that one liner where she's so pissed and she's like, if this was how it was going to be, I would have just gone back to Vanderpump Rules. And we're like, now I'm intrigued.
Yeah, I think where I get mad about Tom Sandoval's lack of growth, I think with Kristen, it's just like I yearn for growth. So yeah. I hope that she has grown. I really
do.
I hope that she has grown.
And I thought we were going to get a little bit more insight into that when she was like, we had that like crazy return of her in last season of Vanderpump.
Yes, but we didn't get any of it.
We just got slides.
We just got flip-flops.
Flip-flops and ashes to ashes, dust to side chicks. And that was it.
Well, listen, on that note, Abby, this has been such a delight.
Yes.
You are welcome back to the Clawfist anytime.
Please.
But in the meantime, can you tell the AGs and tippers where they can follow you on social, all that and more?
Yes, please follow me on Instagram and Threads at Abby Bonides, on TikTok, flow charting and talking about all things Bravo and reality TV and pop culture at Absbon, ABBZBON. And I hope to be back soon because this is just great. And the Clawfist is to die for.
Thank you. It is a place of healing. It is.
I feel healed already.
So happy to hear it. And you can follow me on social at Dame Galley, and also that includes Instagram and maybe Threads. And join the Andy Scrolls Patreon, number one way to support the pod. Get exclusive bonus episodes, recording a bunch this week, and so much more at patreon.com/AndyScrolls. Abby, thanks so much for coming on.
Me too. I'm sad it's over. I can't wait to do it again.
One, but that means a new one is just about
just around the corner.
Guys, thanks to all of you for listening, and we will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.